number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. And I was praying Thursday night here at the church over in the fellowship hall. And I asking God to help me and give me a message for this morning. As I was praying, it seemed like the Lord just spoke to me about Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse number 4. Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse number 4. Amen. Solomon was a wise man. And reading some of these things, and you see them happening today. I mean, some of the great things that Solomon wrote about and things that he said, you see them happening today. And now if Dr. Phil says them, it's some great thing. Or if Oprah says it, you know, folks just fall all over themselves. But Solomon said it many, many years ago. Amen. Solomon said it, and folks don't want to listen to him. But that's what the Bible said. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Amen. I'll read to you also in chapter number 6 of the book of Proverbs. I feel like the Lord laid this on my heart, and this scripture goes right along with it. Chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 6. And the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Listen to this scripture right here. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they that want as an armed man. So shall thy poverty come, amen, as one that travaileth, and they want as an armed man. Amen. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4, read to you right quickly. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Amen. How many want to be rich this morning? I mean, how many want to be rich spiritually? How many probably want to be rich in physically? Amen. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Amen. If you didn't have to compromise to get it. Amen. Live right and still have it. I'd like to be rich. Amen. I like to have wealth and be able to have nice things. I don't want to preach to you about being rich, but I want to preach to you about a sure way to be poor. Amen. I'm gonna preach to you this morning about a sure way to be poor. You know, we live in a generation, and you see it even today. I remember working with a man years ago at Fred's. He was a pharmacist, and he was from Nigeria. And he talks about their governmental system there and how they didn't take care of the elderly and all these things that were wrong. And I've even seen that overseas in Panama. And you know how that some are just left to fend for themselves even in old age. And you talk about, well, they should have retirement. When a man's making $5 a day, it's hard to put up for retirement. Amen. It's hard to put something in a savings account when most men there don't even know anything about a bank. Don't even, amen, when they was growing up, there wasn't even a banking system. But he talked about how that he went there in his government, how that they had failed in the people and all these things. And he said, you know, he said, looking at the governmental system of America, he said, to become a citizen, I had to study it and test. We had to pass. He said, I got interested in it and went in depth and began to study more about the government and about how it was set up. He said, but looking at that, he said, the government and the system which those founding fathers set up was good and had great purpose. He said, but they did not allow for greed. Amen. They did not allow for the greed of man and how then man would try to take advantage of the system for his own gain. Now we're living in a world where men want something for nothing. It's all about a handout. Amen. The other day, a lady came in, a little lady came in to get her medicine and didn't have anything but Medicare Part D. And she was in that gap where had to pay a little extra. And she got a lot of medicine. Brother Josh, I felt sorry for her. Paid over $300 for her medicine. Amen. And she didn't even complain, say a word. I know she ain't got it to spend. Amen. But she didn't say a word. She said, I'm thankful that I got insurance. Probably would have been more if I didn't have insurance. And it would have been about, amen, probably double what she paid that day. And then a little while later, here comes a young man driving up. I mean, he's driving a fancy car. Amen, got rims and tires. Probably cost more than any car I own. Amen, owned that thing. Pulls up and he's on Medicaid. And he has to pay 50 cents for his prescription. Amen, up to a few months ago, didn't have to pay anything. But now they're making him pay a copay. And he was upset because he had to pay 50 cents. I'm thinking, man, and that's an example of how people want something for nothing. Amen. Let me live my life, amen, like I want to. And let me do my things, amen, the exact way I want to do them. And when it comes time, amen, give me all that I want. Amen. We live in a generation where it seems like men and women walk with their hands out, amen, wanting to be given and given and given, and they don't want to give anything in return. I don't remember who the mayor was, but the mayor of New York, it was Ed Cox or Ed Knox or something like that, years ago. I remember, I think his first name was Ed, but when I was growing up, I remember I think I was in high school or maybe out of high school when he became mayor, and he tried to make it a law, but they wouldn't let him, Brother Josh, and he tried to make it a law that panhandlers could not panhandle in the city of New York. Amen. They get out there and they'd have their little buckets out asking for money. You know, they're getting their rags up and they get out there and try to get money from people as they pass by. And his thought on that, amen, he did not make it a law. There was too many against them. I remember that he made a big write up and he made a speech to the people of New York and he encouraged them that when he saw that panhandler on the side of the road, amen, not to give them anything, amen, but to walk on by. And his mentality on that was, as long as we give to them, amen, they'll be content to panhandle. He said, but if we don't give them anything, amen, maybe they'll realize that they got to get up and work if they're ever going to receive anything. Amen, they got to make a living for themselves. Amen. Brother Trey told me one time he was over in Mexico. And he said he's out there in a park, and I don't know who he was with. Might have been Brother Joe Sosa. He said he was with a missionary. I think it was Brother Joe. He said he's out there in the park, and Brother Joe said, now watch out, Brother Trey. He said, he told all those boys from Sumter. He said, you don't give any money to a beggar. He said, a lot of these beggars out here, amen, are con artists. He said, they'll just come out here to beg, and he said, they've got money, but they're trying to make, amen, they know Americans come through here. It's right there on the border. And Brother Trey said he's out there, and said, did pretty good. He said, but he saw this lady sitting on a bench, her and her child, and said it looked so pitiful, and she had a little money thing out. They walked by. And Brother Tracy knew, and Brother Sosa said not to do it. And he said, but after a while, just got overbearing. And he said, he took a $20 bill out of his pocket, and said he slipped over there where she was so Brother Sosa wouldn't see him, and he put that $20 in that lady's little bucket. And said he walked off thinking, I've done a good deed. And said after a while, he watched that lady get up. Said she packed up her little bucket and her child. And said she walked off into, amen, about a block or so. And he watched her. And said she got one of the nicest trucks that he's seen in that area in a while. And she drove off on down the road. Amen. She is making a living trying to beat somebody out of something. Amen. The Bible says here Solomon did. He had more wisdom than the mayor of New York ever had. Amen. He had more wisdom. Hey, amen, than our welfare system does. Amen. When it said, consider that sluggard. Amen. When it is winter, he will not plow. Amen. He won't even try. But when that harvest comes in, amen, he's going to wonder why he does not have anything. Amen. He's going to reap the harvest, but he has not plowed to have anything to reap. Amen. I want us to notice the complacency of the sluggard. Amen. A sluggard is content just to sit back and watch others work. Amen. Others pray and read their Bible and try to jump in on the spiritual wave. Amen. That's why these men, when I was growing up, it wasn't Joel Osteen, and it wasn't Benny Hinn, the prosperity preacher, but it was Reverend Ike. Amen. Reverend Ike said you had to have the mentality, amen, to manage your money. Amen. Reverend Ike said that most people's mentality on money is like this. Amen. But you had to have that big mentality to have prosperity in life. Amen. Talked about walking around Cadillacs and claiming them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Laying your hands on appliances. Amen. Saying, I can have them. And they would be yours. He said, there, smoked that big cigar. Amen. Brother Bruce kicked back in that chair and said, send me your money. I'll send you my books on prosperity. And you know, a lot of folks fell into that. And they sent their money to that man. And they came out none the better. Amen. That's what we're looking for, a quick fix. Amen. Something to get us over the barrel. Amen. Something to make us rich. Hey, come on now. I remember I was out working with Brother Mark Cawley in Alabama. And there's rich men all around. This man, Lewis Freeland, on 2,200 acres. Had a landing strip. He'd come from Birmingham. And he'd land there. Came in a hunting club. 70-acre lake. Had all kind of stuff. Cabins. Had a house for him to stay in when they came in. Always talking one day, hello, keeper. He's a black man. He's worked all his life. He said, you know what, Mr. Breland Lewis's daddy told me one day. He said, what? I asked him, said, what did he say? He said, he pulled out a wad of money. And he said, you know what? He said, to have this, amen, to be rich, you got to have some of this to start off with. It takes money, amen, to make money. He said, but the black man said, I was a young man at that time. Amen, probably in my 40s. Hey, I like that young man in his 40s. When I met him, he was probably about 68, 69. And he said, Mr. Breland taught me something that day. He said, give me a hand, son. And he grabbed his hands. That old black man worked on the farm for him. Amen, that black man, amen, did everything he needed done. He said, you feel those calluses right there? He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, you might not be rich, boy. He said, well, that'll put food on your table right there. Amen, that'll keep your family cold. Amen, that'll keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summertime. Amen, you just work. Amen, use those hands to labor with. It ain't all about prosperity and riches. It's about doing your part and not being complacent and wanting something for nothing. Amen, the Bible said, amen, they plow not in the winter. I couldn't understand that. Amen, but I looked it up in that civilization, in that climate, winter, amen, was the rainy season. It was cold, and that's when they plowed and they planted. Amen, because of the coldness, he says, I won't go out. Amen, because of the coldness, he says, I'm going to sit by the heath. I'm going to sit by the fire and warm myself. I'm not going to freeze out there. I'm not going to go through those things, that hardships. But when time comes, he is without. Amen. The sluggard is complacent. And the sluggard is cold. Amen. What did Jesus say? And the love of many shall wax what? Wax cold. That's what happens. Amen. That man gets cold and numb. There he sits, wondering how he's going to get by. Amen. Hoping that somebody might pray it down. Amen. They might get in on it. Amen. Open that the preacher might have a great message. Amen. That'll shake and rattle heaven on their behalf. Amen. That they might come in on that wave of glory. Oh, come on now. Amen. They rely on others' abilities and others' prosperity to get them through. Amen. Never worrying about what they need to do. Never worrying about what part they need to play. Amen. Never worrying about putting their shoulder to the wheel and pushing with all their might. It doesn't bother them that other men are in the field laboring. Why? Because it's cold. Amen. Senseless to be out there right now. Amen. But when the sprouts start coming up and they begin to seed, amen, begin to break that ground into plants and the fruit comes up, amen, they look and says, why don't I have? Amen. The sluggard desires and has nothing. Amen. But the soul of him that is diligent shall be made fat. You know why? Because he's planted. Amen. He's harvested. He's hoed. He's done all he could to keep that garden growing. And it will keep him when the time comes. I'm warning you this morning, if we're not careful, there'll be some among us that are spiritually poor because they won't pray. Amen. Because they won't dedicate. Amen. Because they won't read their Bible like they should. Because they're careless. And because they've grown cold and complacent in their heart. Amen. Wrapping up. Wrapping up. I'll say it another time. Another hour. Amen. Being like that sluggard. I said, being like that sluggard. What did Solomon write about the sluggard? I forget what chapter it's in. Amen. But he wrote about it in the book of Proverbs. He said that sluggard's like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Amen. I got to thinking about that. Amen. When a man looks at a sluggard, Solomon said, he said, when I see that sluggard, I'm like, yes. Amen. Ain't that how it is? Amen. I know it's how vinegar does me. When I was in Panama, I drank a cap full of vinegar every morning, about like that. Amen. Why? Keeping mosquitoes off. It kept them off, too. Ain't no many people want to get around me, because if I sweat that vinegar out, I smell like a pickle. Amen. I drank it to keep those mosquitoes off. And I drank that stuff. But every time, I don't care how many mornings you drunk it. I don't care how many times. It's like taking a cold shower. Amen. Folks say, oh, ain't had no hot water. They said, oh, you get used to it every now and then. Amen. I could hear Brother Frankie lived over all his life, Brother Josh. He'd get in that shower and you could hear him in there going, he's finna go up there. And that's what I did. I'd be standing there looking at it going, I got to get up there. That thing, taking deep breaths, and all of a sudden you just get up there as quick as you could. After a while, he got used to it. Amen. But out of the cold water, hit you as something else. Amen. When you take that vinegar, man, it makes you make a face. I'm thinking about Solomon being there. He said, when I see that sluggard, it makes my eyes water. Amen. It makes my teeth want to grind. Amen. Because I know, amen, he's not going to labor, but he wants something for nothing. He's got his hand held out. I'm saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. I wonder how many of you here, amen, that your mom and daddy would have let you lay up in the bed all day. Amen. Sleep when you wanted to. Amen. Get up when you wanted to. Put your feet up under their table and say, now it's time to eat. After you eat, say, I'm going back to bed. Amen. I ain't going to do nothing. You go labor and work. Oh, come on now. It might have been a time when they let you slide little when you was little. Oh, but when you got old enough, if a man don't work, my daddy didn't even know the Bible. He quoted that one. If a man don't work, he don't eat. Amen. He wasn't no Bible scholar, but he got that one right. I'm telling you, if a man won't eat or won't work, if a man won't put his shoulder to the wheel and begin to labor for the Lord, come on now, he is going to be in woe. Amen. Folks want to know, why can't I just get through? Would you want me sugarcoat it right here? Michelle says sometimes I talk too hard. Give me sugarcoat it right here, just tell you the truth. Because you're spiritually lazy. That's why. Amen. You're spiritually lazy. Amen. It shows when you come to church. Oh, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist to know who ain't praying, who is. Ain't that right, TJ? Amen. You can tell it. Amen. Ain't that right, Seth?
Amen. You can tell it when folks ain't praying. And you can tell it when folks ain't reading their Bible. Amen. They're watching everybody else. Amen. Are they worried about what? Well, I gotta get it. I know this morning might be a little different. Amen. Folks gotta go places. I understand that. Amen. But it ain't every Sunday morning you gotta go somewhere. I said, it ain't every Sunday morning. You know what Natasha said the other day? They go to church the same time we do. Well, that girl I work with. And she said, man, she said we had our pastor was out preaching a pastor appreciation in Texas. Or in Kentucky, she said. And said we had one of our elder men got up, said he's 86 years old. And said we got out at 1 o'clock. She said, we're getting out of church like white folks. Come on now. Amen. They're getting out early. We don't normally get out about 2:30, 3 o'clock, she said. Said, that man will preach. We have church. And I thought, man, we've got so lazy. We've got to get out at 12 o'clock. Amen. So we can eat and get our nap. Amen. We got to come back at 6. Let's don't go past 9 now. Unless you got something to feed me in the fellowship hall, and then I'll be all right. I gotta get in the bed and take another nap. Amen. I gotta get ready for work tomorrow. You know what I realize? Amen. This is what gets me prepared. Amen. This is what keeps me all during the week. It's an encounter with God. It's an alone time with Him. It's getting up early and seeking Him. Why? Because I can find Him. My mind's clear. Amen. My head. Amen. Ain't gone cluttered with the things of the world that's happened that day. Oh, come on now. The cure for the sluggard is to get up and do something. Consider the end. Amen. Consider their ways. There is no overlord. There is no overseer. There's not anybody cracking the whip. Amen. But they do it because that's what everybody else is doing. They put forth the effort. They go out and get and they store up to have plenty when the time comes. Amen. A lot of church folks, you drop a hint, they won't even get it. You try dropping them a crumb, you're too lazy to get up, get the crumb. You drop a crumb in a van right now, or spill a Coca-Cola, you have to clean out your seats when you get in there because there'll be ants everywhere. Amen. I don't know about y'all's house, but you leave a wet towel out too long. You put that towel on you. Whoo! Gonna light you up, brother. They're gonna light you up. There'll be ants all in it. Well, I'd hate to know an ant was smarter than me. I'd hate to know that an ant gets it better than me. I'm closing. How would you think if I went to work Tuesday, we opened back up, first thing I did was sit on the stool. About 12:30, say, it's time to go lunch. See you in a little while. Come back about 1 o'clock. Say, well, that stool's uncomfortable. I think I'm going to go back there in the back, lay down for a little while. Do it all week. Well, I wouldn't let make it through Tuesday, but anyway. Do it all week, and then Friday come up and say, paycheck. My daddy always taught me, if there's downtime, because in pharmacies there are, during this time of season, folks on vacation, and flu season's been to kick in, you got downtime. You do what needs to be done you hadn't done already. And if you got that all done, you find something to do. And I clean commodes. I mop, and I sweep. I don't like it. Man, I don't like it at all. But I'm on the clock. I'm on the clock. And when the boss man comes up, after he's giving everybody else the checks, hands you cash money, he says, I appreciate your dedication. He says, I appreciate when you, everybody else standing around talking, you're working. And you get that reward, and you think, man, I'm really going to shine that thing up next week. I'm going to try even harder. And the other day, he normally does it, Brother Josh. He ain't done it too often, but he normally, if he gives me some money, he'll call me in the back and say, how do you talk to you for a second? Well, here the other week, man, I cleaned the toilets. I installed a car seat for him. We had some downtime. I went outside and cleaned the sign off. I mean, it was hot. I cleaned it off because he wanted it done. He walked up to me, right in front of everybody, handed me some money. And one of the girls said, "Why ain't we getting none?" I came up with a bright idea. I just went over to the counter, opened it up, got some toilet bowl cleaner and a toilet brush. I said, "That's how you get it right here. Here you go, have at it." They ain't want to do that. They ain't want to do that. The reason there's so much spiritual poverty in the church, because most of the prayer time that people see is right here. That's it. Their prayer life consists of Sunday and Wednesday night, or a little lay me down to sleep prayer when they go to bed. And they think they're going to reap that great harvest. They think they're going to reap that great harvest. Brother Martin, I don't know if y'all was there that night at a youth rally, and his children got up and they quoted a whole second chapter of Acts in unison. It was amazing that some of the kids that small knew it. Miss Kathy, it was amazing, but they did it with in unison together, and not like. And when the day of Pentecost, I mean, they had it anointed. That's right. When they quoted it. But do you know somebody told me that man prays every Saturday night, all night long. All night long. I'm closing with this. Brother Leon Pace, back years ago, he was talking about when he first got saved, how that God just touched and seemed like everybody he talked to came to church, got saved. His family was getting saved. People were getting touched. Brother Joy, he said, "I don't understand it." We're sitting there talking, and it was me and brother Dwayne from over at Mount Olive. I think it was the last name. Stoker, Brother Dwayne Stoker. Brother Dwayne was a Sunday school teacher there at Allentown, Alabama, and where I was going to church at. And we're sitting there talking. We'd had a fellowship dinner that day, and Brother Leon just had to know him. He said, I don't understand. He's going on about, he wasn't seeing it like he used to. And he said, "You know, Brother Leon," he said, "I remember when you got in." He said, "You walk back in those Sunday school rooms on Sunday morning," and said, "the presence of the Lord be so real in that place, it's thick." He said, "We all realize why." He said, "Because Sister Helen dropped you off Saturday night, and you prayed till the morning came. And it's church closed. Wouldn't go to sleep. He prayed everybody got there and then go to church. Get ready for service." He said, "How much do you pray now?" Had more wealth then than he'd ever had. Probably me there at that time. But you know why? He's lost everything. Sons are backslid. Grandchildren backslid. I'm telling you a way to be poor. Just don't do nothing. Don't pray. Don't read your Bible. Don't try. Guaranteed you'll backslide. Guaranteed you'll never, ever get anywhere with God. But I'm telling you, if you put forth the effort, God will bless you. God will help you. I ain't talking about just financially. I ain't even thinking that. I'm thinking God will bless you. And by giving you liberty, giving you joy and peace that passeth all understanding. Stand to your feet with us. It seems like Paul or Solomon just looked at his generation, and they had to be a lot like ours. And he said, "Wow, these people just," he said, "to get to me or get to others." He said, "because they want something for nothing." He said, "but consider that sluggard." He said, "when the winter time, he won't plow because it's winter. When harvest time comes, he'll be without. He wants prosperity, but he'll have nothing. And the soul of the diligent man shall be made fat. He shall be made prosperous." That's what the Bible said. Amen. If you want prosperity spiritually, you're going to have to put forth the effort to have it. Everybody that will, let's come gather and pray. Ask God to help us.